Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
This is the story of a ragtag bunch of church members who set out to perform a Christmas play, and the director who tried his hardest to just keep it all together. The glory of Christmas.
My name's Joseph, and in the Christmas Nativity play, The Glory of Christmas, I play Joseph. That's right. I was born to play this role.
Joseph has no clue what to do when it comes to babies. So, in order for him to play the role of Joseph, we got him an infant simulator doll from the local home ec teacher. So, you know, he could practice a bit.
Insane shriek, it's baby.
Needs to burp.
Needs to burp?
So put your fingers under and try to find the... Where's the spine on this thing?
I don't know. Check the front.
Joseph is terrified. I don't blame him. Babies don't even have kneecaps.
Burping like a boss?
Yeah, way to go, fake dad.
I heard things may not be going so well with the infant simulator doll.
Hey, Joseph, your mom's here to pick you up.
Yeah, coming.
As you can see, my mom's house is full of antiques.
So I did what any good home economics teacher would do. I sent Joseph home with a baby egg.
I think about Joseph, like Bible Joseph, a lot.
What it would have been like for him to have an angel come and tell him that his wife is pregnant with God's child.
Ha!
Like he would have had to really dig deep and find his compassion and his understanding. Because he really, really loved her.
My dear Mary, it is going to be a long journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the census, especially with your belly being so humongous.
With child, Joseph, the line is being with child.
Right. Sorry, ma'am. Is the age difference what's bothering you? I want you to know it doesn't bother me.
Okay, please, people, let's just take it from the top. I understand that Joseph is radically underqualified for all he's about to encounter. But isn't that the type of people God uses? The most unlikely folks to do the biggest things? Yeah. Seems like those are the ones he always picks. Because he's a God that'll never give up on us.
Ah! Ha ha! Yes! Ha ha! Swaddled! Ha!
any dads in the room having flashbacks going, yes, that was a glorious moment. I have swaddled. Oh, man, I love this little series that we started last week called The Glory of Christmas, because it's meant to be humorous, obviously. It's meant to poke a little bit of fun at our humanity. And part of the glory of Christmas is that we get to laugh a little bit, because there's just this element of joy that is such a part of the Christmas story. And one of the aspects of the glory of Christmas is that Christmas is about precedence from God. No, I didn't say that Christmas is about presence from God. I said an aspect of the glory of Christmas is about precedence from God. You're going, precedent, what are we talking about here? Well, let's define what a precedent is. A precedent is an earlier event or an earlier action that is regarded as an example or as a guide to be considered in subsequent similar situations. So that means once we see something happening that brings God glory, well, then a precedent has been set. A precedent has been set that can lead us to believe that if God got glory in this way, then he may choose to get glory in similar ways in the future when those kinds of things come back around again. And so when I say one of the aspects of the glory of Christmas is that Christmas is about precedence from God, what I mean is that God has a way. All throughout the story of the Bible, all throughout the pages of Scripture, God set a precedent that these stories are recorded in the Bible that repeatedly show God's affinity toward using these least likely characters, these least likely people, to be a part of doing incredible tasks that end up bringing glory to God. And one of the reasons that God does this over and over again is because of this right here. God never gets tired of receiving glory in unlikely situations and through unlikely people. Let that truth just kind of settle in over your soul for a moment. Because you may think, man, I felt like that swaddler. I have swaddled. Not a great candidate maybe to be swaddling the Son of God. But think about this. God never gets tired of receiving glory in unlikely situations through unlikely people. What does that mean? That means God loves to show up and to show off in ways that just leave people kind of scratching their heads in wonder and in amazement going, only God could have done that. Only God could have come through in that way. God loves doing things that only can be attributed to His hand, to His work, to His intervention. Especially when it involves imperfect, lacking, weak, and deficient people like me and probably like you too. Certainly like the swaddler. That's what God loves to do. See, God has set a precedent for how He enjoys getting glory. God enjoys involving such people in His story that positions people in such a way that they're going to have to depend on God to do what only God can do. And if they will choose to step out, to be obedient, to reach out, to put themselves out there and make themselves available, great glory is not coming to them, it's coming to God through them. And we see this precedent all throughout the pages of Scripture. I mean, think about it. Joseph, in our story, in our nativity, Joseph being chosen by God, think about it, to be the earthly father of Jesus. God with us. He didn't zoom in. He came in person, in the flesh. Think about that. Joseph, man, this qualifies as such an involvement that could lead to great glory if Joseph will make himself available to it. And while Joseph uniquely was chosen by God to give glory to God in this role, I'm telling you, this kind, although this was a unique role here in a unique situation, I'm telling you, it's a setup that has precedence. It has precedence by God throughout the pages of the Bible. It's a precedent that we see of how God uses imperfect people to execute His perfect plan that leads to great glory for himself. A lot of words here. Let that settle in over you. God uses imperfect people to execute his perfect plan that leads to great glory for himself. And if you don't believe me, if you're going, man, I need you to help me understand this a little bit more, this precedence thing, let me just quickly rattle off six little scenarios from the Old Testament. Six brief examples of God setting a precedent that leads to this story of the glory of Christmas. Back to the Old Testament, if you were to go back to the earliest parts, the first book of the Bible, we see the story of a guy named Abraham. His story is found in Genesis chapter 12, and it spans through about Genesis 22. And in that story, God calls a man at the time named Abram to leave his country and to follow God to a place that God hadn't yet revealed to him, and yet he goes. He goes, and God later would change Abram's name to Abraham, and he may have been by his peers and maybe even by his own self and his wife, man, too old to start following God that radically at this point in life, because he was 75 years old when God invites him into this opportunity, and yet it would then be another 25 years before Abraham would become a father for the first time, learning how to swaddle. And that first swaddling would then lead to many other swaddles, many, many other. It would end up for him being the father of many nations. More than the stars in the sky did he have children in his family tree. And God set a precedent of getting a kick out of receiving glory from people and from situations that depended totally on God to make it all happen. Let's look at another one. A guy named Jacob, his story is found in Genesis 25 through 37. And in those chapters, we see God using a guy who's a cheater. He's a liar. His name is Jacob. And he ends up being used by God to be a blessing to many peoples all throughout the earth. In the story of Jacob, we see God's precedence at play again of receiving glory from people and from situations that totally and fully depend on God if it's going to come through. How about another guy? This one, Joseph. Not the same Joseph here, obviously. Shares the same name. But Joseph in the Old Testament. We see his story in Genesis 37 through 50. God uses this other Joseph, someone who would go through horrible abuse, trafficking, and injustice, eventually to be used by God to have influence and to give leadership to a whole nation of Israel and beyond in a terrible season of life that included famine affecting God's people would be solved through Joseph. When he chose to be dependent, when he chose to be faithful, when he chose to be open in less than ideal circumstances, and God was with him. And again, we see a precedent being set by God of how God works and gets glory from unlikely people like Joseph. You go to the next book in the Bible, the book of Exodus, and we see another character, a guy named Moses. The whole book of Exodus is a story of God using this stutterer named Moses eventually to be the mouthpiece of God before a guy named Pharaoh, who enslaved the people of God. And God chose to use this guy named Moses in supernatural ways to share a supernatural message and to lead the Israelites out of their enslavement in Egypt through the wilderness and onto the doorstep of a land known as the Promised Land of Canaan. What do we see here? It's God following his own precedent of how he chooses to get glory. You're going, are there any women that we can see? Yes. How about Rahab? In the book of Joshua, chapter 2, God decided to get glory through a woman named Rahab, who was a prostitute. She was part of a plan to assist the Israelites in capturing a city known as Jericho that would be a major factor in God's people being able to move into the Promised Land. And once again, we see this precedent of God using unlikely people to accomplish his own purposes for his own glory. Rahab's not the last person that we see this in. All throughout the Old Testament, there is a man named David. Great name. David in the Old Testament. Much of the Old Testament speaks of and echoes this story of David. And while David is referred to in Scripture as a man after God's own heart, David is also known for some really poor choices, some sinful choices, some ungodly actions in his life that included such things as committing adultery with a married woman. Her name was Bathsheba. And then after he finds out that one night stand produced a pregnancy, well, then David doubles down on his sin and has her husband killed. A man after God's own heart, are you kidding me? And yet, the place that plays such an integral part in our Christmas story that we're taking a closer look at was the city of Bethlehem, also known as the city of whom? David. The city of David. And through the lineage of King David that would one day be found in the city of David, a Savior would be born who is Christ the Lord. Old Testament precedents that lead to God's glory. Now we move into the New Testament and we look at a final character this morning, and it's Joseph, the swaddler. We see part of this story in Matthew chapter 1 and in Luke chapters 1 and 2 that when that day came, in the fullness of time, one man whom God chose to be present, to welcome, to hold the newborn King of Kings and Lord of Lords as this baby took his first breath on planet Earth. This guy was a carpenter from Nazareth, and his name was Joseph. Now, Matthew's gospel records an attribute of Joseph as being a, quote, just man. And yet, as we read, he was just a man. Just an ordinary, average guy. And as we'll see, he had fears. He had second thoughts about continuing in this relationship with this woman named Mary. Once he found out that she was pregnant and not by him. Think about it. Before Joseph ever finds himself at the stable in Bethlehem, holding God in the flesh after Mary gives birth to Jesus. God first had to convince Joseph, you can do this. You can do this. Joseph, you are about to be my next president. In my great story that I'm writing. And it's going to end up leading to more glory for me. Matthew's gospel, let's take a look at it this morning. It recounts this scene in the glory of Christmas. Would you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 1? I want us to look at a few verses together this morning. Let's read about this precedent of God choosing and using the most unlikely person in the most unlikely circumstances to be one of the ones who gives God so much glory out of his life. Let's pick it up in Matthew chapter 1. We'll look at verses 18 through 25 this morning. Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. Let's read about the swaddler here. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah. 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as we think about our friend Joseph this morning, and we think about this role that God invites Joseph to play in the Christmas story. I mean, we see a beloved character who, quite frankly, he probably had more than one moment where he finds himself in his life kind of scratching his head, kind of second guessing, kind of going, "How could I possibly get into a relationship like this? Who's ever going to believe a story about a girl like Mary and a guy like me? I never asked for a marriage like this." What's everybody going to think about us? What's everybody going to think about me? How can I be who God wants me to be when so much of this situation makes so little sense on the surface? I'm sure Joseph had questions. We know he did. That's why God intervened in a dream. But I want you to think about this Christmas question with me. Why would God decide to identify someone like Joseph to play the role of Jesus' earthly father?
Well, there may be a lot of different responses to that, but one that I want us to think about is this. It's because, as we've already talked about, God sets precedents throughout the Bible that shows his consistency in choosing the least likely people that ultimately give God great glory when they're put in the position to do so. Now our Joseph in the video, I have swaddled. Remember that guy? Our Joseph character, he was depicted in the video. He probably was not all like our Joseph in the Bible. And the Christmas story that they were depicting was probably not a whole lot like this one here on a whole lot of levels. However, he likely was similar on at least one front. And it was articulated by the director in the video. It was kind of towards the end of the scene. Do you remember what he said about Joseph in the video? If you have your phone, take it out, because I want you to take a picture of something. We're going to put it on the screen here. Take a picture of this and allow this to come back to you day after day this week. Here's what the director said about Joseph. He said, I understand that Joseph is radically underqualified for all he's about to encounter. But isn't that the type of people God uses? The most unlikely folks to do the biggest things? It seems like those are the ones he always picks, because he is a God who will never give up on us. Would you just say that last line with me? He is a God who will never give up on us. Take a picture of that. Read that between now and Christmas every day, and allow that truth from God to sink into your soul. See, there's so much truth in those lines from that little video, and so much glory that can be given this Christmas to God, especially if we tend to think about our own lives, move away from Joseph for a minute, and think about our own lives, and maybe relating this part of our life to Joseph's life. Maybe we all feel pretty underqualified to give God all kinds of glory from our lives. But think about it for a minute. Just be honest for a minute. How many of us feel radically underqualified just to do what we're being asked to do during this season of life? How many have so much stuff on our plate, not to mention all the other plates that we're trying to keep spinning? I was talking to my dad this week. He said, how's your week going? I said, I got a lot of plates spinning. Some of them are kind of wobbling. I'm just trying to make sure that the plate that has my lunch on it isn't the one that falls to the ground. You feeling that? Feeling like you need to be all things to all people all the time, and you're just going, and this is the Advent Sunday of peace? Yeah. You're uniquely and perfectly situated to give God great glory. Just look at the precedents. So for the one who feels afraid about the future, you can't wait to get to 2021, but what's going to happen when you actually get there? You're still going to have a lot on your plate. They're still going to be wobbling. We're still going to have to figure out how to spin. For the one who feels inadequate today to take care of your family in your house and also take care of the family members that helped raise you, there's glory. There's glory. For the one who feels like you're in a dead-end job right now, there's glory. For the one who feels so stretched because you don't feel like you're being a good parent, a good son, a good daughter, there's glory. For the one who constantly feels misunderstood, there's glory. For the one who feels burned because you unjustly have been attacked via social media by something that was posted that's just not true. And you know it, but you know to jump into that fight and try to defend yourself is only going to be just pouring gasoline on yourself because more fires come in your way. There's glory. There's glory for you to give to God. For the one who feels in over your head with responsibilities and how to navigate the waters we're in today that never was part of your plan, there is glory for you uniquely to give to God. God has set a precedent for people just like you and me because of this. You are the kind of person God desires to use to bring Him great glory this Christmas. And although you may sit there right now and just go, man, I don't know. I just feel like the most unlikely person to do something great for God. Please, please do not give up on God this Christmas, because He will never give up on you. He's not ever going to give up on you. Don't give up on God. He'll never give up on you. God wants to show you that He's with you, that He is for you this Christmas. God wants you to know that just like Joseph, God desires you and He desires me to trust Him. Not to be afraid in our circumstances, whatever they may be. And friends, day by day, you can find courage and you can find strength that God will give you as you follow God's lead in your life to do what He wants you to do and to say what He wants you to say. Think about this for a second. You have been identified by God to be the only person on the planet who is uniquely situated with your exact circumstances and your exact situation. You're the only person with the exact circumstances, pressures, responsibilities, challenges. Now, everybody's got their stuff, but only you are standing in your shoes. And only you can give God the unique glory He desires to come from your life. Will you allow yourself to become a precedent that others can look at and go, maybe God wants to use me if He also wants to use you. If you feel like you're the only one who's radically underqualified to do such a thing, remember, part of the glory of Christmas is that Christmas is about precedence from God. And friends, God regularly uses those who find themselves in less than ideal circumstances to bring Him the greatest glory. And you have been uniquely positioned to step into this moment, to step into this Christmas season and choose not to be afraid and choose to trust in God and to make yourself fully available to Him no matter what happens around you. Do you remember what the angel of the Lord said to Joseph in his dream in verse 20? Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. That's a pretty big ask, yes? I mean, we know the story. We know how it's going to work out. This was his 2020. Do not be afraid to take Mary as my wife. Are you kidding me? Really? Yeah, really. Really. Put yourself back in your own shoes for a minute. How would you fill in this blank this Christmas season as you think about your life and you think about your responsibilities before you today? Do not be afraid to what? I mean, we know what goes in the blank if you're standing in Joseph's shoes. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. We're talking about you. We're talking about you. We're talking about me. We're talking about you engaging online today. How would you fill in this blank? Do not be afraid to what? What is God asking you to step towards Him in faith as you choose to trust Him and choose not to be afraid? Friends, if you feel radically underqualified, you're in good company. You're in such good company. If you feel radically underqualified, then you're feeling radically biblical this morning. Because I'm telling you, Abraham and Jacob and Old Testament Joseph and Moses and Rahab and David and certainly Mary's husband Joseph all can identify with you in at least that feeling today. And yet, God got great glory from all of those characters. It's a precedent. And so are you. And you have the opportunity to give Him such glory in whatever your situation is. And you know what? It'll be different in 2021. It was different in 2019. You only have right now. Don't miss the moment to follow God with all of who you are. He's waiting. He's just waiting. Will you choose to be like Joseph? And choose to trust and choose not to be afraid and to step forward in life with God, regardless of how inadequate you may feel today. Will you make yourself available to be the next precedent that God can point to when others feel themselves radically unqualified? And that's how you feel today. But if you'll make yourself available, God wants to do something great in and through your life. God wants to use your life's circumstance to bring Him great glory this Christmas. And in Joseph's case, the scripture says, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. It didn't say he took a straw poll. He let it breathe for a while. He wondered if he would feel differently later on. He acted. He made a choice and he stepped forward into the circumstance God had set up for him. So let me just ask you, how will you respond to whatever your situation is in your life this Christmas? What I want to do in these next moments is to pray over you. You got enough stuff coming at you. I want to just stand on your wall for a moment and just pray over you. Whether you're in this room or you're online, I want to pray over you for whatever you're faced with right now that you're feeling inadequate about. However you filled in that blank, do not be afraid to. Whatever goes in that blank for you, I want to pray over you that you would have courage and faith and trust and hope and find peace and great joy and a life of love that all gives glory to Christ. And that you would become a precedent in this story God continues to write.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.